right. Again, thank you for being here. We are on special schedule today, so I hope you'll stay with us. The service will not be long, and then we'll go over to the I don't even know what that is anymore. We don't hang out over there, the patio by the old building. And we'll have lunch together, and then we'll come back here, and we'll have our second service, our evening service. So I hope that you will stay with us. Of course, tomorrow is the 4th of July. I'm not preaching a message about our country this morning, but I will say just take time to be thankful for the freedoms that we have in our country. And, you know, you're here. You know, I don't like the direction of our country. I don't like the things that are going on in our country. And when I say that, I'm not saying that to complain, although sometimes it may sound like that. I'm saying that to say, let's be thankful for our country, and let's do what we can to help turn it around. And let's do what we can to help those in our country who are hurting. I know this, when times get darker, people are more open. And we have good news, and I'm thankful for the freedoms that we do have. We've been a prosperous country. We have freedoms to meet, to have church. We have the freedom to share the gospel and to get the good news out. We can live our faith, and so let's take advantage of that. Do you know one thing, getting into the message, people like children and just as individuals, we like people to be, maybe this isn't the word, proud of us, right? You know, your children do things and they want to show you. Hey, Dad, look what I can do. And it's like, it's a very small thing. It's like, wow, great job, you know? And we like to take credit for what's going on, you know? That's my boy. He's a chip off the old block. My child is an honor student. Now, my mom could never say that, but I like the little sticker on the car. My son can beat up your honor student. So, you know, my dad can beat up your dad. And so all that kind of stuff. But I thought about this as I've thought about Job, and I've read it many, many times. What if we were the kind of Christian that God would brag about? I don't say that in a condemning way, because God loves us as his children. I'm just saying that as I look at this story. We know this story of Job very well. Yeah. Even people that don't know the Bible know Job, right? Yeah. The patience of Job. Job went through a lot. And he was able to get through it. And the verses we specifically read this morning, we see that God thought a lot of him as well. Yeah. At that time, Satan was coming and going, and he came before God. And unprovoked, God just said, hey, you consider my servant Job? They just pointed him out. And Satan talks to him. Verse 8, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth. Now, if God said that about me, he'd be saying it for a different reason, okay? It's like that one down there, there's something wrong with him. The mold broke. I don't know what's going on. But he said, there's nobody like him in the earth. Verse 2, in chapter 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, after he went through some troubles, he says it again, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth. The second time to me means a little bit more than the first time, because he had went through a lot. He had went through some things. Just, let's be honest, if most of us went through here, I wonder if we'd be able to still say that. It'd be tough. A lot of people, when problems come, they allow problems or things that they can't reconcile in their mind to deter them from God. Years ago, I read a biography. I like to read biographies and things like that. I read a biography of Steve Jobs. When he was around 13, he, and I don't know if his family was going with him, he was actually going to church for a little while. And he happened at that time to see a Life magazine. I don't even know if it's in existence anymore. And on there, it had a picture on the cover of some starving children overseas. So he took that magazine, and he went to church, and he took it to the pastor, and he said, is this true? The pastor looked at it and said, yeah. He goes, then why isn't God doing anything about it? And he said he never went back to church again. You know, problems And things we can't reconcile in our mind can cause us to have issues. But not Job. Job was able to put these things together. Job was able to keep his faith in God. Job was the kind of man that God bragged on. Now, the goal of the message isn't for us to work towards just God bragging about us, although God loves us. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. But if I'm looking at characters in the Bible, there's some characters I would prefer to be like. There are some that I really don't want to be like. I mean, it would be nice, you know, it's like, wow, I would have liked to have been someone in the Bible that God talked about. You mean like Demas? Or Judas? It can be a bad thing too. But the point is, I want to look at Job. Here was a man that God bragged about. But why? Well, I want us to notice three things briefly. First of all, I want us to notice this. Job was a man of great character. Look at chapter 1 again. It says, chapter 1, after God brags on him, and he says, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Chapter 2, verse 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Now, when something in the Bible is mentioned once, it's a big deal. Yeah. But when something is repeated in the Bible, it's a real big deal. It's there for emphasis. And God is telling us, as we read the rest of the book and we see Job's life and we see how he handled things and we see his crummy friends and all that stuff, he's trying to show us the kind of man. Job was able to get through this because of, started with the type of character he had in his life. God mentioned those four things. He said that he was a perfect man. Does that mean he never did wrong? No, God gets on him at the end of the book. Now, God gets on him at the end because he got a little bit self-righteous. And to be honest with you, I'm not saying that's right, but I understand it, especially the way his friends were getting on him. By the way, his friends did really good the first week because they didn't say anything. Man, they were just sitting there. And by the way, sometimes if someone's going through something, they just need you to sit with them. You know, we sometimes think we have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. I mentioned it, when I was in Bible college, I was a bus captain. I had a lady, Mrs. Pasco, and her five daughters. And they would come to church. They were faithful, the mom too. And it was like 45 miles. I didn't even want to ride the bus to church, I'll be honest with you. And they were faithfully coming. And one day, I was going in that area to pick them up. They were the last pickup before I went to church. My wife came out, Hispanic. She was white as a ghost. And I'm like, her husband, she said, Mr. Pascos. And I just talked to him I talked to him literally as he was walking out the door to go to church. We were there witnessing to him. And he's like, I got to go to church. He used to call me Mr. Steve. How's the church business? And he was stepping out the door to go to work. I got to go. And he went to work a half an hour later, had a heart attack and died. And I was like, you got to go talk to her. I'm Mr. Steve. I didn't know what to say. I sat down with her. And I didn't have to say much, but I just sat there with her. You know, sometimes that's comforting. They did that right. But once they started talking, it was bad. It was real bad. But Job was perfect. He wasn't perfect in that sense. That just means he was mature. See, the reason Job could handle everything that came his way is because he wasn't, in a sense, he was never content with where he was at. Obviously, he was growing in his faith. Yeah. By the way, that's good for us too. Amen. You're going to face things in life. Just. Well, I'm a Christian now, so everything's going to be great and everything's going to work out. No, it's not. That's not life. I wish it was. You say, no, I heard this guy and he was preaching on television and he said I should have all the money and I should never get sick. You should be perfect. You should be in perfect health. Why is he wearing glasses? That's not Christianity. And by the way, if that was true, how come none of the New Testament saints got in on that? If that's not the issue. But the point is, the more mature we are, the more we'll be able to make it through these things. The Bible said he was upright. Upright means he walks right. He was righteous. He lived the right way. By the way, and again, I'm not being condemning here because I don't want to know what God would say about me. But what if, you know, he's an upright man. What if God gave a one-word description of us? You know, he's an angry man. He's a, you know, whatever. By the way, that maturity will lead us to a better way of living. It ought to make a difference in our life. We ought to be more righteous. And then, here's probably why he was righteous. It says, he one that feareth God. Now, I will say this about our society. We don't fear God anymore. Politicians, entertainers, even athletes, they have no problem saying anti-God things, anti-God rhetoric. They have no fear of God. And by the way, they're not Christians, so I get it. But what about us? Do we fear God? And fear God doesn't mean we cower in the corner. You know, God's waiting for us to make a mistake so he can knock us away. That's not what fearing God is. Fearing God is a reverential awe of God. It's understanding that really I'm aware of God in my everyday life. By the way, that can be scary, right? What if you had an awareness of God when you're driving on the freeway? Okay, I'm sorry, I don't mean to meddle, especially in the freeways here, you know? What if we were aware of God in every area of our life at all times? What if we understood that we are accountable to God? That's all that fear of the God is. You know, think of it this way. I think children ought to have, and let me explain it before you freak out. I think they ought to have a fear of their parents. Not like, dad's coming home, what kind of mood is he in? I'm not talking about that. But there ought to be something that when they go past a boundary, right? It used to be, and now it's not. Now it probably doesn't say it because most dads don't live at home. But it's like, you know, kid do something ignorant, and mom's like, wait till dad gets home. You know what that means? Like, not going to be good. Now, I'll be honest, I didn't grow up with that. You know, my mom, women and men, they discipline differently. My mom, she was great. She did the best to keep me out of trouble she could. She wasn't like, every time I messed up, I got it. But ladies seem to hold it all in. I still remember the last time I got it. I was like, I had decided I was going to do something, and I always did whatever I wanted, and I think she had been saving it up. And she said no, and I'm like, no, that's not going to fly. I'm doing it. Well, after about 10 minutes, I decided, you know what? I don't need to do it. She had saved it all up, and I got it all at once. Okay? But that's the thing. It's not like we're afraid that if we do one little thing. No, God has grace and love, but there ought to be that awe, like, you know what? God deserves this in my life. He deserves to have this authority in my life, and I want to do what he wants me to do. And Job had that. And then it said that he eschewed evil. That just means he hated it. He hated it. We are becoming, in the times in which we live, we are becoming a very, I guess I'd say tolerant of evil. I'm very, very saddened when I see the state of the average church in this country and they do nothing but run to whatever is going on in society. All the next new woke thing. And I'm not saying we need to be mean spirit. I'm not saying that. But there ought to be a place where people understand, you know what? Well, they're Christians. They just believe this. Right? Shouldn't people come to... Look, when people come to church, they just expect certain things. And I hope that they come here and just say, hey, church believes something. I've had people come like, what's your church like? Yeah, hey, I was looking for a church like that. Just let's not get used to it. Let's make sure that I can't control what goes on out there, and I can't control what goes on, but I can control what goes on in me. And I want to understand that that's not something to be trifled with. So he was a man of great character. But you know, when you're a person of great character, that's going to lead to the next thing. You're going to be he was a man of great challenge. Look at chapter 1 and verse 9. God says, hey, look at Job. He mentions his character, and you know what Satan's going to do, right? Satan's like, really? Let's test that thing. Let's see how legit it is. Verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? He goes, really? Oh, Job's not just doing that because he's a good guy. He's getting paid off. By the way, I don't even care if that's true. If that's true, I'm like, I'm in. Yeah. It does. I mean, I know he's criticizing God. Like, hey, you're making it easy for him. But you know what? It does pay to serve God. It does pay to be a Christian. And if you wanna accuse me of that, guilty as charged. Because I lived on the other side of the fence and I didn't like it. This side of the fence, it's pretty good. Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Oh, you're protecting him from everything. Hast thou blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land? You're protecting him. He's prosperous. And then Job makes an accusation. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. He says, there's reasons Job does it, and I guarantee you, God, if you take away those reasons that he's serving you, he'll turn on you. Really. Take away his prosperity. Take away this protection. Take away what you're giving him, and he'll bail out on you. By the way, I hope that's not the case. Sometimes when things are going well and God is blessing us, that's when we start to believe we're bulletproof. That's when we start to believe nothing's ever going to come our way. No, it doesn't work that way. But I guarantee you this, when things come our way, God's always with us. He challenged it. He said, no, that's why he's doing it. And the first time that things don't, and we know, I don't want to go into all of it, we don't have the time for it, but you understand all the things. He lost his children, he lost all of his possessions. And all he was left with was his life and his wife. I'm not going to insert a joke there. Okay? He was left with his life and his wife and his Lord. I know people, and I've been doing this a long time, and it's unfortunate. Sometimes things start going sideways in their life, and the first thing they'll do is they'll quit doing the things they know they're supposed to do. And they'll say, you know what? Pastor, it's like, I just got so much going on in my life, and I've got to get this all figured out. But when I do, I'll come back, and I'm like, no. Come here, and let's figure it out together. Come here, and let's work together. God, you don't stop doing the things you're supposed to do just because things aren't working right. That's like saying with your health, you know, my health is starting to go sideways, and so I'm going to quit eating healthy, and I'm going to quit eating vitamins, and I think I'll start doing that later. I'm going back to the Wiener Schnitzel. Oh, no, I like the Wiener Schnitzel. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm going to McDonald's. McDonald's is like Greek for die quickly. It's just not good. But that's not how things go. You do the things you're supposed to do. And that's what Job did. I know look, as parents, I get it. We hate to see our children struggle. But can I just tell you something? Sometimes struggling is good for them. And I'm not saying we purposely put obstacles in their way. But my child's having a tough time. Their family is having a tough time. It's like, you know what? They'll be okay. By the way, it's a lot of times like we got married and you know, and I could, you've heard our stories. And when we first got married, financials, we had to work through some things and all that. But it was good for us. Now we want to make sure our kids, they get married, everything's perfect for them, and they never have problems, or the little kids, everything has to be perfect at school and all that. Look, let them struggle through. It helps them. But he made it. He's going to be challenged. He was going to be, and you're going to be challenged too. It may not be right now, but it'll come. There'll be a time you're going to have to stand. There's going to be a time that your character is going to be put to the test. And lastly, say, wow, that was quick. Yeah, maybe. He was a man of great choices. He had the character. The character was tested in a way which probably none of us have ever had to go through. By the way, after he gets through the first test in chapter 2, then he loses his health. And I know we like to get on his wife, you know, like he lost his wife too. I don't think he lost his wife. I think his wife only opened her mouth after he was hurting. And by the way, you know, sometimes in hurting, we say things we really don't mean. She was still there for him. And if she did, God got her back. She had to have 10 more kids. So there you go. Just kidding. Look at verse 20 of Job chapter 1. This is after he lost everything, all of his children, all of his prosperity. He's sitting there. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. Like there's something wrong with that, right? And fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away." Now listen, would you have been able to say this? I wish I was the kind of guy that could have said this, and I didn't go. "Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Yep. What did he choose? He chose to just keep worshiping. "God, you're still worthy of my life. God, I don't like it." No one would have liked what he went through. But he, you know what? He realized there was something greater at play here. Amen. He realized that there's something greater in eternity. And he was still able to worship the Lord after all that happened. Everything is yours. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, we don't necessarily thank God for the things that happen. That's like really high level Christianity. But we can at least thank God in the things that happen. We may not like what's going on, but we have to understand that God didn't fall off the throne, right? And God is still worthy of us to worship him. He's still worthy of us to praise him. Faith doesn't have to have all the answers in order to trust. Fact of the matter is, if you have all the answers, it takes very little to have faith. If God just lays it all out in front of you and you see every step and you see there's no faith in that. Faith is only faith when it's put to the test. He also was able to retain his wisdom. Look at verse 22. "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Now, why is that important? Because God, I know the answer because I got the quiz. Because Satan said he would. Satan said, "Go ahead and see what he says to you if you take everything he has." And he's like, he didn't charge God at all. He didn't say, "God, what are you doing?" And sometimes we feel that way. "Lord, I've been serving you, and I've been trying to do the right thing, and I've been trying to do all this, and why didn't it work out?" By the way, let's be honest. Have you ever been there, even on a small scale? Let's raise you. I've been there. I know two times very specifically, it's more than that, where I went out and had a talk with God. And I'm like, "I don't get this. This isn't right." And first you charge them, right? And then it's like, then you have a business meeting. "Let me just tell you why you shouldn't." Now hopefully you get to the end of the thing. And one time it took me about 45-minute walk to figure it out. Like, "I get it. I trust you." We've been there. But he kept it. He didn't blame God and ruin his life. Yep. I don't even remember, probably about 30 years ago, I don't remember what I was watching. And Jerry Falwell was on a show. Now, Jerry Falwell in the early part of his life was really good. Towards the end, he struggled. And he was on with an atheist. And this atheist is debating why. The guy who was an atheist used to be a pastor. And he was debating with them, and "God's not real, blah, 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 blah." And out of nowhere, I don't know, maybe he did his research. He goes, can I ask you a question? He goes, what's up in your marriage? Is everything okay? And the guy said, you know, his wife did something and they're divorced now. And he goes, does that have anything to do when you turn from God? And the guy goes, yeah. There was a reason. There was a reason. Not Job. Job stuck with it. And he'll face things, hopefully, none of us will ever face. And then lastly, under that, Job also kept his words. Look at chapter 2, verse 9. Give me a minute, we'll be done. Everybody gets on his wife. I'm not. I've never met her. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. You have to understand why she said that. He was in misery. Yeah. By the way, we want to get on her. She lost children too. Yeah. She lost everything too. And now the one thing she has left other than the Lord, her husband, he's suffering. Yeah. But look what Job said. He's trying to snap her to reality. He said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. You're speaking like someone that doesn't really even understand or know God. What? He's trying to teach her here. Look into his words. Shall we receive good at the hands of God? And shall we not receive evil? Wow. He says, you know what? If we're going to take the good in life from God, we have to accept the stuff that's not good. Amen. Now, Job, we're probably nowhere near what Job is. But I know this, if we have the right kind of character, we'll be able to stand when it's challenged and we'll be able to make the right choices. Because here's what happens, and I'm done. We're challenged, things happen, and then we start making bad choices. And when you make bad choices, an unpleasant situation or a bad situation or just a situation of pain in your life becomes worse. Becomes worse. That's why we draw close to God in the first place. That's why we work on our life in the first place, so that as we grow older and as we move on this life and life hits us in the face, we can stand with the grace of God. That not only helps us to get through it and helps us to work through it, it's also a testimony to the world of the grace of God and how good he is. And I hope that we can be like that. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute, please, just for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening intently this morning. All of us are going to face things in life. I know the younger we are, sometimes the easier it is. You know, we're good health and things are going forward and everything's before us. But as we go on in life, things are just going to happen. By the way, if you read James chapter 1, and we mentioned a little on Thursday night, God sometimes allows things to come into our life to test our faith. You know, I wonder, once Job was done with this whole situation, I think Satan was confused. Satan's like, he's only serving you because you're giving him everything. Go ahead, take it away. And he took it away, and guess what happened? He still served him. Well, he's like, okay, yeah. But you didn't touch his body physically. And he touched his body physically, and guess what? He still didn't charge God. Guess what? Satan was done. Satan's out of the story. I'm not saying that we should do things so God would brag us. I'm just saying we have to be prepared for life. Yes, as we grow in our faith, we develop the character God has for us, but that character will be challenged. And then we're gonna have to make choices, and I hope we'll make the right choices. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you're gonna go through tomorrow or next year, but I know you can make it with God's help. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have that relationship with God. You're, in essence, not one of God's children. What do I mean by that? Let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have any doubt? With nobody looking around, if you were to say, you know, Pastor, that question stumps me, because I'm not sure that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Pastor, with nobody looking around, please, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me this morning? If that's you, just put your hand up real quick and I'll pray. I'll say that hand. I'll mention them. I'll have you. Let's stand together. Maybe God spoke to you this morning and you'd like to come to this altar. The piano's going to play. Why don't you come? Say, things are good in my life right now, Pastor. I know. But let's prepare for the times that we may have to face.